Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, now as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to be with us and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this thy word, and to bring, Father, forth through me the words that you would have us to hear this morning. And now, Father, help us to grow in faith, in knowledge and wisdom, and walk close to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're now in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll begin here with our first three verses, which is kind of a greeting in a way, but also gives us some warning. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all gall and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, two, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Starts off there in verse 1 by telling you and I, we got to lay aside all of those things, and we've got to be watchful and very careful of what we speak. We don't be telling dirty jokes, and we don't use words that we should not use that are against the things of Almighty God, such as cursing and things that way. And we need to even watch a lot of our slang, as we call it. As we call it words. Well, for one, the word hell. The word hell, there's nothing wrong with that word used the right way. but when it's used in a slang way, then that is wrong. And a lot of us do it. I do thank God for one thing in my life. That's one habit I never did pick up. I've done a lot of things, and I mean a lot of things, that I should never have done. But cursing and using slang was not one of them. And I thank God for that, even in the service. And most of the time in your service years, that's just all military language. I never did pick it up. And I wouldn't take it out of others. I come close to going to the guardhouse one time over my drill sergeant when I was in basic training. I hadn't done something the way he wanted it done. I'd done it, but it wasn't the way he wanted it done. And he began by thinking he was going to cuss me out. He started, but he found himself on the ground on his backside. He took me into the captain. Told me he was going to get me court-martialed. Well, the captain at the time was talking to me and was a pretty good man. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I'm not going to court-martial you this time. He said, but you can't be doing that. He said, those are just bywords here in the Army. I told him, I said, well, if they're bywords, they'll have to use them somewhere else. They don't use them on me. Then company commander said, oh, you'll get over it. He said, you know, he said, you can't be hitting your drill sergeant and people that's over you. He said, because I might even say something like that to you. And I told him, I said, yep. And I'd do you just like I done him. He said, oh, no, you wouldn't. Sarge said, oh, yes, he would. I was never cursed again. I did not pick up that kind of language. I never used it. And I wouldn't take it either. But we're not to be speaking evil words. And verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We are to desire the word of Almighty God as a babe wants its milk. If you've got that kind of desire in your heart for the word of God, wanting to receive it, and be in it every time you can be. That's what we are supposed to be doing with our lives. And then 3, he says, if so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We all know that he is gracious. He is all good. And we know that he took upon himself all of our sins and all. Now we move in here to verse 4. It says, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. By ye also, as lively stones, or built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. 8. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now you see, through those verses 4 through 8, he's talking here about our built up, is the main verb in this section, and the choice of the word shows that the building is not haphazard, but is according to an intelligent plan brought to reality by a master craftsman, which sets forth the fact of our integration into the body of Christ. And the overall design is a spiritual house, which describes the nature of the body of Christ, that is a house in which God dwells. The material used to build a house is figuratively presented as lively or living stones. Christ is also described as a living stone, or a precious stone that is living and disallowed by Israel, but acceptable, elect, and precious to God. You see, we know that this body is the temple of Almighty God. And he, once we do the, what we are supposed to do, and we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we repent and are forgiven, and we bring Jesus into our lives, then this body becomes a place for him to live. And he does so. He tells us that. And the Holy Spirit also, once we receive him, he is there with us. And they never leave us unless we leave them. Now, once you receive that Holy Spirit, you don't leave them. But you do, there's no way back. A lot about that in the book of Hebrews. But we're going to be coming to more about that just a little later on in our studies. Now, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are royalty. Think about it. Once you become that child of God, you are royalty in the eyes of God. And you are made also of the priesthood. Think about this. You see, and to the world, we are a peculiar people. Because those that are of the world and not of God, they have no understanding of us at all and why we do things that we do and why we believe and speak the things that we believe and speak. So we are peculiar to them. But we also are a royalty. Because you see, we belong to the most royal of families, the family of Almighty God. Not because of ourselves, but because of Him and His grace and His mercy for you and I, and especially us that are Gentiles. Now, you see, now we are even no longer Gentiles because we are royalty and of the priesthood and we belong to the family of God just as the Jewish people do. There's no difference in us now. We've been engrafted into that, and we have become just as they. Now, 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Now, as we live this life here in this world, we know that before we went to the Lord Jesus Christ and become that child of God, we all know and can understand the lust we carried within ourselves before that time. And most of it was not good at all. We had fleshly lust that was absolutely against everything of God. Most did curse, but we also carried that sexual lust us men for the women and the women for the men, which was not right at all. And a lot of it, in a lot of ways, was even against man's law. But it was all against the law of Almighty God. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, it's what they see in us that are the children of God that can bring about changes in them. 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Now, we are to obey man's laws unless they are against our Lord and Savior and Almighty God. And then we are to obey God rather than man. You see, these are decisions we'll make all of our lives. This COVID come along, the first thing they closed was the church, our government. First thing they closed was the church. And almost all of your ministers closed their church instead of going to God, praying to him, and keeping that church open, knowing that through prayer that plague could not touch them nor the church. But you see, they didn't do it because, like I said, our churches has become weak, and they're teaching things that they shouldn't be teaching and accepting things they should not accept. Psalm 91 tells us that when we are serving the Lord our God, that the plague cannot come near us or our home. I didn't close my church. We had services every time it was time for service. We never missed not one because I was obeying God. And we never had a one of them to ever take COVID. Think about that. Now, verse 14, are unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And you see, we know that those that are outside, walking in darkness away from Almighty God, they have punishment coming unless they find out and go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and bring him into their lives and begin walking with him and then be filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and become his child. 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. But they will be those that will talk against you, because they don't understand. And a lot of them are sitting actually in churches that will talk against you, especially when you are standing on the truth of God's word. When you're standing on the truth of God's word in its fullness, you'll be surprised. Those that will talk about you, make up things about you, anything they can do in order to cut you down. And if they are setting the churches, they will talk against you there to keep you from being invited to their church to speak. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know that. Yes, I do. Because, you see, I live it. I'm talking about it all the time, and I know that. A lot of times I even know who's done it. But I love them and I pray for them. That they will see and understand that they are needing something more than what they have. And that being, they really need to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the right way. 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You see, we know we are free. We that belong to God, we know that we are free. He freed us. He freed us from the evil world. But we still cannot use that in order to do things that we shouldn't be doing, which a lot of them are. They'll go to church. They'll take offices in the church. And they'll go out on Saturday night and drink and carry on. And Sunday morning, they'll be back in church just as nothing took place. Yet they're praying that the people there in the church don't know about it. But it will come out. Nothing we do is really hid. There'll be somebody find out about it. And once one person finds out, it's going to spread. Now, 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. We know the king, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we give him honor for the things he has done for us. And that we know and understand that everything we do has to go through him to get to the Father. And what the Father sends to us comes back through him and brought to us by the Holy Spirit. 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. In other words, it doesn't matter what your, as the word calls it, master. Today we call them employers. What they are, or how bad they are, or anything. But as long as you are working for them, you are to give them your best. Just as if you was working for the Lord our God. And you pray for them. Keep them in your prayers. 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. We know they are those employers out there that don't treat their employees right. But once again, as long as you stay there, you still give him the best and hold him in your prayer. You don't do things against him. Now, not for vengeance. 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? In other words, you've done something wrong and you're buffeted. You take that patiently. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You see, even though you've been right in what you've done, and you've done your best and all, you still take that buffeting patiently, because that's what's acceptable with God. And once again, you're still praying for that one that has come against you. 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We are told several times through the New Testament about walking in his steps, in the Lord's steps. We're being told here that Christ left us an example, and that we should follow in his steps. We are to be like him. Oh, you can't be like him. He's the Son of God. Yes, you can. Because you see, he's in you. He and the Holy Spirit giving you the guidance and the power to be able to do it. And they tell you, you can. But he don't tell you, you can do something that you can't do. God don't tell you that. Just like he don't tell one in his word here, don't do this. I don't call you to do this. I don't call mankind to do this. I don't call a woman to do this. So you don't do it. And then him turn around and tell someone else, now you go do that. No, he doesn't. And let no man deceive you by telling you, oh yeah, because he's different with everybody. He is. But when he says no, he means no for everyone. When he says yeah, he means yes for everyone. 22. Who did no sin, neither was gall found in his mouth. In other words, there was no evil or anything, no arguments and things that way found in his mouth. And he did no sin. And once we become that child of God, we are to walk in those steps. 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Who was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. You see, we don't do things back in revenge. We commit our lives unto the Lord God. And if there is any revenge to be had, it belongs to God. And he will do it. Now, 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. another place where you're told that by his stripes we have healing. Now, 25. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We all walked in darkness and in sin until we knew that we needed something more, and we go and went to the Lord Jesus Christ and repented and asked for forgiveness of those sins, and he did so. And then we ask him, come into our lives. And we were baptized into him, and unto his death, unto his burial, unto his resurrection in life. And now we are to walk as he walked. Think about it. And we have now come to the end of chapter 2. And God willing, this evening, we could be picking up with chapter 3. And we're going to be learning some more that a lot of mankind today has forgotten about. And although most of us that belong to him may not really need this for ourselves, but we need to know it and have it in our hearts to share with others that do need. All right. Have a good day. And as we close his word, let us go to him in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we thank you for this word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the time you've given me to bring us all together and to be able, Father, to broadcast this through Blog Talk and YouTube, wherever they reach, taking it to others, Father, far and wide. Now, Father, I pray for all to hear these messages and that work with us and walk with us. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, her husband and son, Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, my wife, Sue Benson, Deborah, Father, we all stand in need of guidance. We love each other. We love mankind. And we know that we do need guidance and understanding greater in the world. Father, we know that the Holy Spirit gives us this. Pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace to them. And Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, in this land of ours, Father. That those in our high places and offices, Father, that has brought all this evil upon this land, turned its back on your word, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the church. Father, we pray for them to be removed from office and replaced by those that are yours, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, that loves the church and loves your people and loves this country, and will work with us to bring this land back to repentance and our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within our families, with the members of our families, Father, that are still in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help to bring them to that saving knowledge, Father, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. Now, Father, be with us through this day. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. And bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless all. Have a great, great day.